Well, I don't know if you've ever been to a tag team before, but me and Henry's going to tag team a little bit this morning, and he's going to do most of the tag teaming. But I just wanted to get something in your spirit this morning and just something that I wanted to share just for a few minutes before I have Henry come. And it's been a great blessing to have him here with us this weekend. He was with us back in, I don't know, was it April? Back in April when we had really first made the decision to do Hope Over Heroin. And was just an incredible connection, and I just appreciate his encouragement throughout these 8 months, 6 months that we've been preparing to do this. And so he's going to come in just a moment and just share with you. But I want to read something to you out of the book of Numbers chapter 13 for just a moment. And I want to talk a little bit about, we've been doing a series on winning the mind wars. And I want to just take a moment because a lot of times we get in situations in our life when we need God to move and we need God desperately to do something incredible in our lives. And all of a sudden, God will bring a breakthrough to our lives. And the thing is not that God doesn't want to bring breakthrough to our lives. He does. And how many in here has ever had a breakthrough that God has brought into your life and brought an incredible victory in your life that you've been praying for? But a lot of times, it's not just the breakthrough, but it's how we manage the breakthrough that God brings into our lives. And God loves the free people. God loves to reach down and touch the lives of people. He loves to do that. But I think sometimes what we miss is how to manage the breakthrough that comes in our lives. And a lot of times, God can do great things in our lives, but if we don't know how to manage it afterwards, and we don't know how to walk in it or carry it out, a lot of times we become frustrated trying to walk out that very thing. I believe breakthrough is a spiritual commodity that God gives us. It's something that happens when you have been fighting and something has been resisting something in your life, and it's a continual resistance until all of a sudden you have something that comes through and breaks through. Now, the problem is that we are people of routine, and we are people that like predictability in our lives. Matter of fact, most of you, I can find some of you during the day because I know most of your routine. I know where you like to eat. I know what time you arrive at work. I know what time you drive past this church in the morning. I know where you sit on Sunday morning, and I know if you're here or if you're not here because your seat is not full, right? And so we love predictability. If I needed some of you, I would know exactly where to go to find you. Why? Because of the predictability that's in our lives. And a lot of times, in predictability, it means this. It says that nothing has changed. And a lot of time, predictability and habits or routine in our life is just an indication of things that are not changing. But God can take the promises and the things that He promises us and give them to us. And when we get them through breakthrough, whether you know it or not, there are promises that God has given each of us. And so when God gives us breakthrough in our lives, we have to learn how to manage those breakthroughs in our life. And the problem is a lot of times God will bring breakthrough, but we have a mindset of captivity. And just like the children of Israel, God was wanting to bring them out of the wilderness, and they sent spies into the land to look to see what was in the land. And they sent those spies into the land, and when they had sent them in, they came out, and this is what they said. They said, "We are as grasshoppers in their sight." And they said, "Yes, there's milk, and yes, there is honey, but we look like grasshoppers in their sight." But I love the verse of Scripture in 13, verse 31, where it said that also they themselves believed they were grasshoppers in their sight. So not only did the children of Israel feel like they were grasshoppers in the sight of those that were in Canaan, Canaan had looked at the children of Israel and perceived themselves also as grasshoppers in their sight. And so when they came out of Egypt, God brought them out of Egypt surrounded by a series of miracles. And He brought them out, and all of these miracles centered around their survival. Now listen to this. God brought them out with a series of miracles that surrounded their survival. What did he do? He brought water out of a rock. Is that not right? He parted the Red Sea and brought them through the Red Sea. He gave them a cloud by day and fire by night. He fed them manna out of the sky. And all of that had to do with their survival. How many know God is happy to do that? God is happy to help you break through. God is happy to be a part of the needs of your life. But it was just to get them by. And so the survival that they had and that God had brought to their life, even though he brought those small miracles to their life just to get by, they still had a mentality of captivity, even though God was still working. And many Christians end up living well below the promises that God has for them, because even though he works miracles to bring your breakthrough, sometimes because we have that mindset of captivity, we don't know how to walk in the blessing that God has for us and the promises that God have. I thought, why in the world did it not indicate to them that all the miracles that God did to get them through the Red Sea and to get them in to the wilderness and the miracles he did to keep them, why did it not indicate to them that God was with them, that he was with them? And so they had this mindset that they were just going to get by, and it was just about getting by. And God does not give us breakthrough just to get by. Some of you here this morning, this weekend, God touched your life. There's Nathan sitting back here who got saved last night. And so God doesn't just save us and change us for us to just get by. He has much more for our lives. He has the promises that he has promised us as believers in order that we can walk into the very purpose that God has for our life. And so God gave us breakthrough. And here it is. They were going to be the people that for 400 years that God was going to bring breakthrough through. Isn't it good to know that you can be the people that God can bring breakthrough into people's lives? Isn't it good to know that you can be a breakthrough kind of people? That you can be the kind of people that help people break through and be the kind of church and be the kind of people that reach out and be the kind of people that help people break through in their lives? They were going to be what Abraham had prayed for, what Joseph had prophesied. They were going to walk into the promised land. And they were going to walk into it, and God was going to take them in. And all of a sudden, it was like when they looked over into the land, all they could see was the fact with their captive mindset. They said, yeah, there's milk and honey there. But they said, we are as grasshoppers in their sight. And it's funny, sometimes God can bring breakthrough in your life. And just like them, see, what they saw were bees and cows. See, they looked over there and they saw the bee. And that's how we think about it sometimes. But bees have to be harvested, right? Honey has to be harvested. Cows have to be milked. And in other words, their breakthrough was there, but sometimes you have to participate in your own breakthrough. Sometimes you have to do your part as God does his part. And so the mentality was is that they were looking for the opportunity to go into, and they seen giants, and they seen walled cities. And the thing was, God didn't mention anything about giants. God didn't say a thing about giants. He said, this is the land that I have given you. This is the land that I've given you. And what you have to understand when you manage breakthrough is that sometimes we have to get rid of the fantasy thinking, to think that our perspective and what we see is not what God has said and not what God has brought our way. And so God wants us to manage our breakthrough. And when we go from here to there, and here's what happens. I really believe that one of the things that this generation struggles with is what I said last week about arrested development. That it's the desire of the enemy to keep this generation immature, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And if the enemy can keep them immature and keep them at a place to where they do not grow spiritually, where they do not mature physically and emotionally, to use things like heroin and drugs, he can keep them in a place of immaturity where they never grow to the place to where they ever have breakthrough in their life and where they ever walk out that very breakthrough. And so God wants to bring breakthrough in our lives, but we cannot have the mentality of a captive. We have to have the mentality of what God says we can have and what God promises us to have, that we can walk out what God has promised in our life. And so God opens the Red Sea. He brings them through and shows them miracles. And as they were preparing to take the land, as they showed up, and as they came, the enemy in the land already knew what God can do. How many know the enemy already knows what Christ has done on the cross? The enemy already knows he's defeated. The enemy already knows that breakthrough has already been paid for in your life. The enemy already knows that Jesus had paid the price already on the cross so that you and I can live in the promises of God. And so God doesn't want you to live to just get by. He wants you to step into the promises that God has for you. And we have to believe that God can bring us through. And that God just doesn't want you to live in a daily struggle with the very things that you struggle with every day. That God can free you and break that freedom. And you can live in that freedom and move on into a mature walk with God. And so we have to learn to manage our breakthrough. We have to learn to manage that breakthrough. And so when God gives us a promise, we can't just see bees and cows. We have to see that there is milk and honey that's on the other side of the promises that God gives us. But we have to participate in our own deliverance. We have to participate in God's deliverance of our life. And so stand with me for just a moment. And I just want to pray this prayer over you. And I just want to pray this prayer of breakthrough over your life. And many of us over the course of these months, there's many young Christians that are here in this church. And over the course of the last year, God has allowed us to minister to some of you who have made first-time decisions for Christ. And many of you have struggled through different areas of your life. But God wants you to be able to manage your breakthrough. God just doesn't want you to just get by. He just don't want you to struggle with the fact and all of a sudden you keep going around the same mountain and the same mountain. God wants to move you into a place of promise and move you into a place to where you no longer are just getting by, but you're living in the promises of God. And you're living in a place of victory. And you're living in a place to where there's fruitfulness in your life. And you're walking it out and you're living it out. And that God is working, and that every promise that He's given, you're able to take advantage of by your obedience to the Word of God. And so every 6 months, you don't have to figure out, why am I still battling this area of my life? And so God loves to give us miracles that helps us get by. But what God really loves is He loves when we walk into a place of promise and when we walk into a place when our obedience to the Word of God brings a fruitfulness to our life that's evident by those who are around us. And so, Father, I pray the blessing of God upon Your people this morning. And I pray that the Spirit of breakthrough would be upon us. And I pray that those that are young Christians that are here this morning, and those that have been walking with God for a long time, to understand that God doesn't just part the waters and just doesn't bring water from a rock or manna from heaven and the small miracles to get us by, that we have to understand that God is just not there for the small miracles, but He's with us always. And that He wants to take us into places of promise and places of maturity and places of walking through and breakthrough in our lives. And so, God, I bless the people this morning. And I pray, God, that the folks that have gotten saved over hope, over heroin, and those that have come to Christ in the recent months in this fellowship, that they're not people who just exist, but they're people who walk out the very blessing of God in their life. And I break off those things that have held them back. And I break those things that come against them and try to pull them back into a world that has so destroyed their life. And so, Father, we rejoice over breakthrough. And we rejoice over breakthrough in our lives this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's saints said, amen, amen. Would you give God a great big clap offering this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Henry, would you come? Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I think I've been pinned. That's wrestling talk for I can't beat that. Thank you, Pastor. What a blessing it's been to have been here with all of you. And the blessing to be with your pastors and never once hear a discouraging word. Never a curse about the rain. Never a thought about the climate. And always saying, it's in His hands. It's in His hands. He knows what He's doing. Well, Pastor, I was prepared to listen to what my opponent was going to do. And what was I going to do to figure out that next move? I used to be a wrestler. I don't know if you knew that. I was, brother. In high school. No, I'll be doggone. That door was shut a long time ago, brother. I think I'm gonna jump right to the core and support you, my brother. I can do that. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, while we're setting this up, how many of you heard my testimony last in April? You know exactly who I am, what I've been doing. So I'm not going to belabor the negative side of my life. What I want you to know is I had the most gracious mom and dad, still have mom, that a man could ever have. I'm first born, and my dad was a Second World War staff sergeant. But he had a unique trait. Dad knew how to knock him out. Dad was a Golden Gloves exhibition boxer in the Second World War. And he got up in front of Bob Hope or any comedian that came up, and his job was to get the audience riled up as he knocked somebody out. And then Bob Hope would come on and make them laugh. And that was in the field in Germany, across that end. He, you know. And Dad was just this gracious, gracious man. And the reason I'm telling you this, because our Father in heaven, we can't even imagine the grace. I think I'm losing myself here. There we go. We can't imagine the grace, and that word meaning unmerited favor that's been bestowed upon us. We can't understand this mercy that this word talks about every day. We can't understand the fellowship that we exist in with Him right now. We can touch it on the peripheral edges. And sometimes while we're singing and ministering, we sense the Spirit of God. But in this place, in this house, this gracious God is with you. And collectively, as the body of an almighty God that loves us, we have the power to live in that truth. Now, you know, the dilemma with that is, and for anyone who's just come to Christ, I'm just going to be real short with this part of this, because this is not my story this morning. But to have been a heroin addict that had been in federal penitentiaries and prisons and jails and all of that, and to come from the family that I came from, made no sense. I did not, like any other heroin on the planet, addict, start out to do that in my life. I was proud of my dad's name, my mom's name. I was proud of the blood that I came from. I was proud to be a son of a dad that I was going to take over the ranch and be wealthy like dad someday. Am I falling apart here? I feel like I am. Here we go. I was proud of all of those things. I was proud that my dad was famous in that valley. I was proud that he ranched 11,000 acres. I was proud that I was going to be the rich kid of the rich Bob. My dad. I was proud of all of that. I didn't know the Lord, but I was sure proud of that. I knew my dad and I knew my mom. And so to turn out and turn around and in junior college, stick a needle in my arm, like some crazy kid in 1967. How do you do that? And I'm saying that to say this, that these folks that are out there in the streets they weren't born to do that with their mind. They didn't wake up one day and say, I'm going to be a heroin addict and go to prison, go to jail, and embarrass my parents every day and go steal from them when they're not looking and rob from my cousins and do this. And that nobody thinks like that. It is an enemy of God Almighty who has a potion that's called an apple that he said, did he really say you can't eat that? It's always been there. Isn't it interesting that that was a chemical that was devoured? And a chemical that was forbidden. We're eating that apple every day all across this globe because it's the intent of the enemy to capture our souls and kill us. Kill us. Kill our children, kill our family, kill the hope in our parents, kill the hope in everybody around us until they finally give up and don't care anymore. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, I'm a Teen Challenge graduate and was with the ministry for a lot of years and came out of the White House and went on to be a global leader of a global foundation, gave away millions to all kinds of people. You know, what a wonderful time. And I wouldn't accept a job unless they accepted my wife as my director of global communications. Because that's who she is. If anybody knows my wife, they know I'm telling the truth. This woman is on the ball. I don't know what I'd do without this lady, you know. But that said, we got a call from Teen Challenge. And let me tell you, we were doing pretty tidy. We were living up in the Burlingame Mountain overlooking the bay. I had the 24th floor office right on the Embarcadero. You know, when we had 34 staff. Let me tell you what I was hired to do. You're going to love this one. Because I can talk about that, but if I don't tell you the mission in the middle of that, then I'm just talking about what I did. I'm a man that's all my life been seeking out, since I understood the mission of this great gospel, is to find other people of other faiths and understand them. That's been my mission. So I was hired by a global organization that I volunteered for because I wanted to do that. I wanted to get inside this global organization, and I wanted to figure out what it was they were doing. And how did they think? It was an international Buddhist movement called Shinyo In. It means a borderless garden of unknowable truth. And I volunteered for them. I traveled with them. I watched what they were doing. It was just mind-boggling. And after as I was leaving the White House, they came up to me and they said, the head of the order, who I knew, as they called her, Her Holiness Shinzo Ito from Japan, asked me if I would become the executive director of her largest foundation in the world. They had seven of them. That was in San Francisco. And I was sitting there going, wow. And here's what they wanted me to do. Because I was a son of the living, almighty Jehovah Elohim, they wanted me to do what the White House didn't do in their faith-based office. They wanted me to turn the entire staff capacity, 26, 27 people, the majority of them college and university students, from every faith to be in that office, every tradition. And I was going, whoa, this is going to be good. See, if you're the executive director, and every Friday you have a meeting with all of these different people of traditions and faith who work for you, and at the end of everybody discussing their faith and how they'd apply it to the mission and all of that, well, as the executive director, you get to share yours too. And it was just a beautiful, 4 years of ministry to all of these people all over the world. And finally, Her Holiness told me, you are emerging Buddha. And I wondered which one. And she gave me the highest compliment that a Buddhist could ever give you. The emerging Buddha of the spirit of Christ of love. And I thought, whoa, she got it. She knew who I was. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man or woman is in, what does that mean? What does that word mean? It's not his last name. This is Son of God. Christ, the Anointed One. The Lamb of the Holy Father himself. The Anointed One. Jesus, in the Hebrew language, is Jehovah, is salvation. So imagine when you call out the name of Jesus Christ, you're literally saying, Jehovah, which is God Almighty, is salvation, the Anointed Lamb of the Father. That's his name. And this gracious sovereign moves into our life, and he is the center of change. We're just the body. My gosh, and when I walked into Teen Challenge after all of those years of sticking a needle in my arm, 10 to 15 times a day because I was a supplier, I could do that. What did he have that could have been any good for me? If you are in Jehovah Elohim, the Anointed One, then you are a new creation. And there's new creations that are brand new babies in this house tonight. Brand new babies. And let me tell you, the credit, ready for this? The credit, whether you want to accept it or not, is in you. Every person in this church that prayed, that helped, that gave, that walked in the rain, that volunteered, that broke down, that did anything, that just thought that thought, that this gracious God put in your heart to think good things about what was going to happen, it is to your credit. And let me tell you, I don't know his pay scale, but it's way out of our range. What's coming to us? Ready for this? We're always, I hear so many people saying all the time, oh, boy, I want my mansion to be this big, and, you know, I hope I get a new Maserati, and I hope this happens up there. Let me tell you, when you meet this sovereign, when he says, welcome in, faithful servant, that's the end of that reality. Everything beyond that is plus plus. Imagine the Son of God himself. I almost could barely take myself away from looking at this picture, because when this Christ, the Anointed One, when the Son of God himself was on that cross, when he was looking up, this Son himself was saying in his heart, it is finished. And you, Father, and I, and the Spirit of God Almighty have done it. We've shut that door on that enemy. From the garden till now, it's closed. And anyone, if anyone is in that Son, he or she is brand new. And the complication, like you said, is to move that thing forward. How do you do that? How do you move that thing forward? How do you continue to survive in this world with everything that's in front of us? A world that's constantly beating us. You can barely find anybody anymore having dinner anywhere in a restaurant that the entire family isn't on the phone. Every one of them. And they're texting each other. The kids are. What are you going to eat? Well, I don't know. Just for fun. Just because they can. So in the reality of us being in this Almighty God, we have to have the context of perseverance, like Pastor was talking about. The context of continuing. The context of understanding. And the Word of God is real clear about what that context is. But we stop there traditionally. When we go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, the Scripture is telling us something about where we are if we are in that God Almighty that we say we are. But then it goes on to say you're a new creation. But then it says what? What's the old things? Now tell me in with you that the old things still aren't stuck on us like little stickers. And we think they're there. But inside of us is an almighty, sovereign God who at any point in time is asking us if we're in his word, asking us, you want to remove that one? Want to remove that sticker? That label? You're not an ex-addict? You are a son of an almighty God that I had destined, planned to have you alive in me. That you're not some old grandpa. That's me. Or some old grandma. That you are new creations, will be new creations for all eternity. Forever. New. Brand new. The most important part of that is the old has what? Passed away. How does that happen? How does it just pass away? The old has passed away. We face, in this time and presence, the old every day. Every time we look in a mirror. And if we believe what we're seeing in that mirror, if we don't see this face in that mirror, and that struggle, at that moment, that close to being reunited with his Father, knowing it was so close, it was going to happen. I'm here. that life. If we don't see that face in us, then we've missed the boat. And every time we don't see that face because we think we shouldn't see that face, we have missed the picture. Grace, unmerited favor. That means you didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's not just going to come to you because you want it. That this Father in heaven, His eternal destiny for each and every one of us was to be in Him. Reunited with the source of all creation, of the cosmos and beyond. And that source is the love of an almighty Father. Love. Unmerited favor. And then we go on, and I watch this and teach elders. We'd stop right about there. We'd take that little clip of scripture, and that's all it was. In the Word of God, it doesn't stop. It says, now, let me tell you, like the beholds in the Word of God, now is another behold. Get your act together because now you're going to ride. Now you're going to do business. Now you're going to go. Now I'm going to be with you. Now you're going to change. Now life is going to abundantly flow out of you to others. Now all things are of. You know, I have trouble with some of these words. That's not God. That's Jehovah Elohim. That's His sovereign Father. It's not a G word. It is a word that is so undescribable. It should mean exactly that. And that's why in the traditional language, I'm a mestizo Apache Indian, now on my father's side, Apache on my mother's side. And there's words that mom and dad have used all my life to just bless the socks off of me because there's these beautiful words that mean something. God in this United States is a bad word. And it's because it's too simple. People don't get G-O-D. Who's God? Can't see God. What's God done for me? God is never around when I need Him. Jehovah Elohim is everywhere. Everywhere. He is never not there. There is nothing in the continuum of time and space that is not filled and held together by the Word of God Almighty. Nothing. One thought, and we would be in oblivion, and it would end from this G-O-D. My Jehovah Elohim empowers me to know that I'm just this little country boy, FFA kid that loves wearing boots. That all I know is this Elohim is who I serve. And then it says, oh, wait a minute. The amen is, and so do you. But it's not that everything good and everything bad is passed and now it's all done and the scripture's done. It says, no, now all things are of this Elohim, this gracious God, who has reconciled us. That means by grace, unmerited favor, we are with Him. Amen. And there is nothing that we've done in our past. Hear that for everybody who just walked in the door to meet this gracious God. There is nothing we've done in our past that is now resident to our account as a liability. Our credit is now good with God. Did you hear that? Nothing. Today, there is nothing. The moment you took those sacraments, you, if you had the right mind, were sitting there like I was going, forgive me. Let all that stuff be out of my heart, my mind, my thoughts. I want to partake of those elements. I want to think about the blood of my sovereign on that cross. I want to understand this. I want to partake of that body of an almighty anointed one. I want that to become part of me. I want to walk, talk, and act like that. I want to be that. Who has reconciled us to himself? Unmerited favor, grace, mercy, love. I don't even know that I understand those words after sharing those words for 42 years. I don't know that I understand what that means. Because the question is always in our mind, how could God love me? Always. Because we do look in that mirror every day. And if we're looking in this word every day, we get it. Because the Holy Spirit of God rises up with wings and talks to us and shows us and says, child, understand. This gracious Father has given us that ministry. And he's not talking about me. He's not talking about pastor. He's not talking about pastor. He's not talking about the rest of the pastors in this room. He's talking about you. Has given you that ministry. Well, Hank, does that mean we got to talk like you all crazy and excited? No, it doesn't mean that. It means you have to believe that you have that resident Holy Spirit of God in you, the fire of Almighty Heaven in you that speaks to how you act, how you talk, how you live in you every day. That's what it means. And then the beauty of his word, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Listen to this. That is that the Father himself, Jehovah Elohim, was in the anointed one, the Word of God, Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing all of what we are every day and what our past was to our record, to us, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. If there's anybody in this church that is waiting for God to show you what you're supposed to be doing, you just got the message. Whether you understood it or not, let me share it with you. That you, your life is the message of the Father's love to us. And our responsibility is to walk that message, to carry it. We're the banner. I'm the hope over heroin banner. You know, because my life is that. Some of you are the hope over business banners, you know, and the greatest grandma on the planet banner, and the most wonderful dad on the planet banner, and the best son in the world banner, and the best daughter in the world banner, and the best little grandbabies in the world banners. We're all that. And a bag of chips. All that. That's what he's given us. But this reconciliation message doesn't even stop there. Verse 20 says, and now you are his ambassadors. I was an ambassador for the President of the United States, been ambassador for a couple of them. And that meant that when I left the White House, I would walk out and I would travel somewhere to meet some governor and open some conference. And I would always say, in behalf of the President of the United States of America. Wow. Did I just say that? I mean, every time, it would just ring in my ears that I was saying something like that from a stage to a grand audience of people who were there to hear me talk about whatever we were talking about. You're that ambassador. And that's just the puny president. Excuse me. I'm talking about the God of almighty creation. You're that ambassador. That ambassador. And you have this unbelievable power in you to deliver that, hello, my name is Henry Lozano, and I'm here in the name of Jehovah Elohim and his son, Ready for this? Jehovah is salvation, the anointed one. Yeah. Now, if you do that, somebody's going to go, what the heck did he just say? What kind of words are those? You could just say, a loving God named Jesus, my Savior, loves me, and I'm here to represent him today. Amen. And the preciousness of all of you is you did that. You did that in that park. You hugged on them people, loved on those people, prayed for those people as you saw them, and mercy. This word is yours. This is not a teen challenge scripture. This is a message of who we are at whatever stage in life we are. And the message is about this powerful God. My prayer has always been this word that the Lord gave me the first time I ever had to testify and teen challenge about my life. And I didn't know what to do, and I was just nervous as heck, and I was hiding somewhere trying to get courage from the Lord that I just barely introduced myself to, and him introducing himself to me, and what was I going to say about my life? And he said, open your mouth. And I shall put my words in your mouth. And I shall turn these people into wood. And my word shall consume them. That's not me. That's the ambassador talking. The one who carries that flame of his almighty God. And every time you look at someone and smile, give them a 10-second hug, just, you know, encourage them, tell them how great they are, minister to them, even if it's just in secular words, if you're doing a great job, you know, wow, I love the way you act with your wife, that's so precious, and Grandma and Grandpa, you guys are still in love. I can't believe it. And yeah, all of those things that could come from us. Mom, I love you. Dad, I love you. I'm going to close with this. Because I need to. My dad, I left the White House a little bit early. The end because of my dad was in final stages of Alzheimer's, and I told my mom, Dad got like that, I was coming home. I didn't care what I was doing. And I went to the chief of staff, told Josh Bolton what was happening, and Josh told me, he says, you don't know this. He says, but there is a number of us, including me, that have moms and dads like that. And they said, you go home right now. And he said, I will set up a departing appointment with you and the president. And I said, no, sir. President has a lot more important things to do than that. And I went home, and I spent a week, my wife and I, with my dad and mom. And Dad was Dad. We had the most fun. We went hiking. We did all these kind of things and just enjoyed ourselves. And at the very end of that week, Paulette and I are sitting there at the end of the table having breakfast with Mom and Dad. And he looks across the table and he says, I don't know who you people are, but you can come back here anytime and visit us. That was Dad. And then my dad went off into some other place in space, didn't know anybody anymore, broke his neck, shortened his time on this planet. From what I understand, that was probably the grace of God for my daddy. And he didn't know anybody or anything and could barely talk. And at the moment, just before his passing, on Easter Sunday, 09, Dad woke up. And he gave an Abrahamic blessing to every son and child in that room as he called them to his bed and blessed them. And my little brother was the last one. My little brother isn't so little. And he was crying. And my dad said, why are you crying, Ray? And he said, Dad, because I'm going to miss you. And my dad looked up at my little brother and he said, "Don't cry, son. I'll see you in a minute." This gracious God loves us that much that He does those things for us in unique ways that we do not understand. But we are the ambassadors of those moments and pillars, of those words that He's given us. Do not hold back what God has intended to come from you to other people on this planet. It's called eternal destiny. You are eternal destiny. The words in your heart are eternal destiny inspired. The life that you're living right now is eternal destiny. The only one that will short circuit this process will be us. Not our Father, not His Son, the Word, and not the Holy Spirit of God that has sealed us unto all eternity. I love you. Amen.
Hallelujah. Stay up here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Remain standing if you would. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And you know, I want to do something a little different this morning. And I'm going to ask that if all those that can, if you could just come down and just stand around this altar just corporately this morning. And just kind of come down and gather around and just kind of come down and just kind of get around here. We're going to pray here in just a second. And that was a powerful verse of Scripture. And, you know, the thing about breakthrough and being a new creature is that a lot of times God can bring you out. But what happens is sometimes we maintain the same mindset, as we said before, as the captive. And we learn not the how to renew our minds. And I'm a son of an addict. My father was a classic alcoholic for years. He was a functioning alcoholic. He was a good man. I loved my dad. But my dad was more drunk than he was sober. And alcohol killed him. I buried my dad in 2008. And my mother was an addict. She was a lot of things. And now she is in a nursing home and she barely has her ability to communicate and function. And our relationship had been strained for many years. And I remember as a kid when God brought a stepmother into my life that changed my life, literally saved my life. My stepmom saved my life. And I remember that even though she had, at 9 years old, she came into my life and provided a stable home for me, there were still some of the scars and some of the things of the traumas of what went on before. And I remember that shortly after my father and my stepmother got married at 9 years old, that I would get out of bed and I would go into their bedroom 2 and 3 times a night to see if they were there. Because my mother would always, as a kid, she'd always leave us. One time I broke my collarbone. I laid in bed for 2 days at 4 years old. 5 years old, and nobody could find my mother, and all I had was an 11-year-old brother and a 13-year-old sister that was watching over me. And for 2 days I laid with that broken collarbone, and I defecated all over myself. I couldn't move. I was in such pain. And so even though God brought that stable home into my life, I would get up in the middle of the night and I'd go and I just checked to see if my mom was there, if my stepmom was there. And I'd do that at night. I'd just check, and she kept saying, "I'm not going anywhere. You don't have to worry. I'm not going anywhere." And what she did is she took her car and she parked her car right outside our bedroom. And she said, I don't go anywhere without my car. And she gave me her car keys to lay in bed with. And it had a little rabbit's foot on it. And she'd give me those car keys at night. And I'd lay in bed and I'd clutch those car keys because I know that she couldn't leave if she didn't have her car keys. And she'd come in the morning and she'd wake me and she'd hug me and she'd get her car keys and go to work. But that went on for months until finally I realized that I didn't have to think that way anymore. God had provided. And sometimes we have to go through that process where God takes that captive mindset out of our lives and realize that the breakthrough that He's given us is He wants to move us into places of promise. And so we're new creatures in Christ. Sometimes we kind of allow the old man to stay around. And so there's many that have come to this altar, around this altar. Some of that were in Hope Over Heroin that are here this morning. And it was just amazing how the churches work together. And I'm thankful for the churches in the city and how they work collectively together. It was just an incredible thing. And I appreciate the mayor being here in the city, what they did, helping us in what we did. But maybe you're here this morning. And you'd say, I know I'm a new creature in Christ, but I want to learn how to manage my breakthrough. And so let's just pray this morning. Let's just pray. And I want to pray this prayer, and you just pray this prayer of agreement with me this morning, just corporately as a body. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. And I thank you for the deliverance in my life. That old things have passed away, and all things have become new. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Lord, renew my mind. Revive my spirit. I'm no longer a captive, but I'm a child of God. And I receive your promise. And I receive the blessing of God in my life. Now, Lord, help me walk the very promises that you've given for my life. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, there's no better day than today. So if you're here and you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, let us just repeat this prayer after me. I want everyone to pray this. Father, forgive me of my sin. I realize I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross and rose again. And now I can be forgiven and have new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap off in the morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you appreciate Henry being with us this morning? And I thank God for him. And so thankful for his ministry and what God's going to do. God has placed him in Washington. And so we need to pray for folks that God gives favor to and opens the door for. That it's a divine thing, folks. He's like Daniel. God has opened the door, like Esther. For such a time as this, the favor of God comes on them and moves them into places to do for us and the Christian world, which we could not do for ourselves. And so I thank God for Henry, for them. Praise God. Has this not been a great morning in God? Amen. Adam's going to sing as we leave this morning. Would you hug about 120 people and just tell them how much you love them this morning? God bless you. We'll see you on Thursday night. Amen.